Will, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Will, do you think the current policy surrounding drug use at music festivals is sufficient?
No, of course not. No, it's clearly not working, and we've seen that in the really appalling number of deaths at music festivals over the past few years. And I think that it's fair to say it's a combination of the increasing number of new psychoactive substances and very high purity MDMA pills that are entering the market. In addition to that, we've really seen a ramping up of the policing at the entrance to these sorts of events, which creates a very fearful atmosphere that has led to people engaging in all sorts of risky behaviours that I think are one of the other main drivers of these fatalities.
Well, if pill testing were to be rolled out, what would that look like?
Well, there are two approaches. At the moment, the discussion is definitely focused on testing at festivals and other events. What that would look like would be a service that's set up within a festival grounds where a person, a member of the public who has a substance that they want to have tested would approach the service. They would hand that substance to a health worker who would then hand it to a chemist. The chemist would conduct analysis using laboratory equipment to identify the contents of that substance. And the person would then participate in consultation with a health professional who would tell them the results of the analysis and then provide them with advice about the risks of taking that substance, plus answer any other questions that person might have related to health risks related to drug use. And then finally, provide them with an opportunity if they wish to safely dispose of the substance for secure destruction.
Well, there's been some research in Europe and even a pilot trial at the Groove in the Move Festival in Canberra. What further evidence do you think is required to convince the Premier that pill testing could reduce drug-related deaths?
One of the really most effective, I think, pieces of evidence is to emerge recently with a paper published in December of last year, reporting on the results of a pill testing service that has operated in the UK, run by a UK organisation, The Loop. What they found, I think, they found a number of things, but some of the most striking findings were that one in five substances were not what the person thought that it was. And at the same time, one in five people who participated in the service elected to throw away their substance when they found out what it really was. At the same time, there was a huge reduction in ambulance transfers and medical incidents in comparison with the previous year, for that year when they were actually conducting pill testing on site. So those are really encouraging, clear results that should be sufficient to convince the Premier. One of the things about this sort of situation is that while everyone likes to talk about evidence, there are two things. One is that, of course, when we're going to trial something new, it is always a process of trialing something even in advance of the evidence to some extent. Of course, now we have very strong evidence. It should be sufficient. So then that kind of leads to the second situation, which is that while people often like to talk about their respect for evidence, it only goes so far. So, for example, there's substantial evidence of the kind of policing practices where we have these very intense operations at the entrance to events. There's strong evidence that those are associated with increased harms among patrons of the event, but the Premier and other MPs have elected to ignore that evidence. So I think that while there's a sort of sanctimoniousness that goes with that claim, or we'll look at the evidence, clearly that only goes so far, and it would be great if the Premier could also look at the evidence behind some of the current policies that we have in place, because they're actually really counterproductive and harmful.
If you're just joining us here on The Daily this morning, we're chatting with Will Tregonin, Executive Director of Unharm, about introducing pill testing, well, potentially introducing pill testing at music festivals to ensure the safety of young people grooving down and have a bit of fun at the festivals. So, Will, pill testing techniques have developed to a level where it can identify samples with some pretty good accuracy and speed. What are some of the other advantages of testing now that's feasible and practical?
Yeah, the technology's come a long way. If people were familiar with testing in the past, I think the most commonly available testing method was to use reagent kits. And that's a legal kit that anyone can buy on the internet to use to test substances at home or wherever they want. And essentially what that involves is combining a chemical reagent with the substance, and the reagent makes the substance turn a particular color, and then you read off a colorimetric chart to get a prediction about the content of the substance. Now that's pretty good, but it's like 19th century technology. What we're talking about now is actually using contemporary laboratory equipment that can, as you say, identify the contents of the substance to a much, much higher degree of accuracy. And so that really changes the game. In addition to being able to actually, you know, provide people with advice about the contents of the substance, some of the other advantages of pill testing are that people who engage with these services often haven't talked to a health professional about their drug use before. People have a lot of fear around that, you know, especially in relation to the legal risks. And so this is an opportunity in a non-threatening environment for people to ask questions about the health risks of particular drug taking practices and get great advice in a way that they might not ever otherwise be able to access that advice. And a second really important additional impact of drug checking services is that in the Netherlands, where services have operated now for more than 20 years, over time there's been a trend where when people bring a substance to the service, it's more and more likely to be what they thought it was, which means that the more mysterious or unknown substances are being eliminated from the market. It's much more difficult for people who are selling drugs to misrepresent something like N-ethyl pentylone as ecstasy in a context where many people are accessing drug checking services. So in the long term, you get that additional benefit of basically eliminating some of the really dangerous substances from the whole market.
Gosh, it sounds like there's so many just benefits to testing the drugs. Well, there's a lot of people that do say the argument that the pill testing could increase drug use amongst young people. How do you respond to that argument?
There's no evidence that is what will happen. And in fact, what we see from services is that, like I mentioned earlier in the interview with that UK example, a high proportion, in that case, about 20% of people who were accessing the service chose to throw away the substance that they had brought. That should be a result that encourages everyone, regardless of what they think about drugs or drug use. At the same time, I think we have to recognize that drug use has been a phenomenon of human culture for at least thousands of years now. It will always be part of human cultures, and we have to manage that more effectively, recognizing that it is a thing that people will continue to do, regardless of whether or not we may personally support it or not. It is a phenomenon that continues, and we know from recent Australian research that at these kinds of events, you know, like a majority of people are illegally using drugs. It's not a fringe phenomenon. You know how you hear sometimes police will do a press release after a festival where they say something like, "We caught 120 people who tried to bring drugs into the festival." And the strong implication is basically everyone who tried to bring drugs into the festival was caught. The reality is that the proportion of people who are illegally using drugs at the festival who get caught is tiny. And because we know that over 60%, more than two-thirds of people who attend these festivals illegally use drugs. And so it's a normal phenomenon. In that context, like, we have to get away from this idea that the drug checking would promote drug use. Drug use is already a phenomenon that is happening, and we need to respond to that reality in a way that effectively promotes safety and reduces risk of harm.
Just one last thing before you go. What exactly is Unharm doing to help safe drug use here in New South Wales?
All sorts of things, and there are a number of places that people can get involved. Essentially, there's There are two tracks to the campaign. One is engaging with MPs to enable them to understand drug safety testing and to be able to support it when we're, of course, that's a continual process, but I tell you what, it's certainly getting some traction at the moment. In addition, it's really important that we maintain strong public pressure on MPs, and there are a number of ways that people can do that. One is that Unharm works with the Melbourne mother, Adriana Fucianti, who lost her son, Daniel, to drug-related causes at a music festival in 2012. She's been a very strong advocate for pill testing, for a trial of pill testing, and there's a petition on change.org. It's got more than 63,000 supporters. I'd really encourage people to join that petition. It's at change.org/stopdeath. In addition, if you're in Sydney, this on the 19th of January, there's going to be a protest in support of pill testing. It's happening at Sydney Town Hall, Saturday, 19th of January, from 4 p.m. It's a event organised collaboratively by Reclaim the Streets, Unharm, Keep Sydney Open, and Sniff Off. And the idea is to build on the momentum by creating this really public show of support for the establishment of a pill testing trial in New South Wales. So I'd really encourage people to attend that as well. You can find that via the Unharm Facebook page, facebook.com/unharm. That's on January 19, 4 p.m. at Sydney Town Hall.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're doing so much to, you know, help promote self-drug use here in New South Wales. Sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Will.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much.